Well, good morning. Sunday one of chaos. You know, the odd thing is, this is going to be strange because it's going to be like week by week things change, okay? You know, we went from, you'll be okay, wash your hands. Now it's, you know, we've got a national emergency, we've got states declaring this, that, and the other. You know, we have the new catchphrase is social distancing. And so here's my thing on social distancing. Okay, you can disagree; it's okay because it's not in Scripture. But while I understand the need for that awareness, I am not going to let a catchphrase like social distancing allow me to think that it's okay for people to be isolated from one another. Because that is not what I'm going to let happen. Does that make sense? Yes, we need to be careful about the things we do. And it's going to be hard because just in the last 20 minutes, we're trying to do the things we always done, like handshakes or hugs and there may be a time where we really are much more, that's more impressed upon us how we need to be aware of those things, okay? For the time, it's going to be a little bit hard to get through that. But the reality is we still need to be together. Even if we can't do those things, we still need to find a way to stay connected and be with one another. I'm not going to let somebody say that social distancing is what I'm supposed to do, therefore I must stay away from people or not communicate with people are y'all like me? Is where if you start not being in a certain place, it starts to change the way you even think about how you come. I mean, it's just the way it is. Even with my students, because I know the way my students are. I know students. Okay. I've been to this rodeo since 2003. Okay. And it is when they are not in class, they do not do. I don't care if you tell them they got class online or not. They're, it's going to be a great challenge for them. I don't know how it's going to go, quite frankly. But it changes what's on your plate emotionally and in your focus, so just going into all that, we need to be praying about that. Okay, we can't let the illness disenfranchise us from one another. Just can't. And I encourage you and ask you to pray about letting God put a determined heart in you to not let that be, because it takes that. All right. So having said that preliminarily, we're going back to purpose, and we're talking about God not wasting anything. I think where we got to the other Sunday, if I remember correctly, was we got to. Oh, I know we're. So is that where we got to? Thank you, John. Excellent, excellent. All right. So we talked about Philippians 2. The other Sunday, and talked about purpose, the purpose of God there, that it's God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill His good purpose. And we talked about purpose. We're talking about God's purpose and the fact that God doesn't waste anything. So we now arrive at Ephesians 1, 11 and 12. And remember, we're just focusing on each one of these passages sort of as an island, and see what each one says to us about God's purpose. So we're not looking at this thematically. We are looking at this thematically, but not as these passages necessarily speak to each other. We're just trying to learn something from each one of these passages. So in Paul's letter to the Ephesians in this first chapter, he says, "In Him," talking about in Christ, "we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. Now, what I don't want to get into is any discussion about the Calvinistic views that may be at play here. That is not the purpose here. The purpose is purpose. Okay? So let's focus on the purpose. What is the purpose of His will? What's the purpose of God's will? What do we see in that here? Okay? That works very well. Okay? That we use this a lot lately, and that is to our purpose is to reflect the glory of God. We were created to reflect the glory of God. Okay? And that in order to reflect the glory of God, we then are to conform to His purpose. So we need to make sure we understand His purpose and that we conform to His purpose. So we do that, then we are finding that we are not going to be frustrated. We're going to be fulfilled. We're going to be in sync with what we were made to be. That make sense? Now this, to me, also sort of echoes back to Romans 8 in a lot of ways. Some of the language is very, very similar. Even to the word predestined to that extent, okay? If you think about it, okay? Now, do you have any thoughts as you look at this about purpose, God's purpose? Okay, John, let's go to the next slide. Okay? So the next passage is a little bit later in Ephesians, more in that same letter. So here Paul says, so Christ gave Himself the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, the word purpose isn't here. But what do you see of God's purpose in that passage? Okay? All right? So, this is one of those passages where it's very, very clear that whatever spiritual gift is given to individuals is really given through individuals to the body. So, my spiritual gift is not given to me for me, it is given to me for you. It's to be shared, it's to be given, it's to be applied, whatever words you want to use there. So the body, what is it about the body? Is that a part of the purpose too? So what do we see of God's purpose then? What is God's purpose? Okay, so that we will be what? Okay, so that we will be mature. Now, you've heard me say this before. There's nothing new. This is going to sound harsh, but you've heard me say this before. God's purpose for us is not, God's purpose for us is not to insulate us from the coronavirus. God's purpose for us is not for us to never experience loss or pain. What His purpose for us is that we become more like Jesus. In everything we encounter in life is an opportunity for us to choose to submit ourselves to His plan so that His purpose is fulfilled in us, which is that we become more like Jesus. And we do reflect the glory of God. How does that strike you? All right. John, let's go to the next one. Okay. So now we get to the second part of this. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, The whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So there's an individual purpose, and there's a community purpose. It's not just that we all individually become more like Jesus, but that collectively we become more like Jesus. And that is the purpose that He has for us. You see that? That's why everybody needs to be growing and becoming more like Jesus. And why we all need to be focused on that purpose for ourselves as well as everybody. That's also why we share those gifts. We share those abilities with one another and serve one another with them. It's because that's why we have them. All right? Okay. Let's go to the next one, John. So then we do get to Romans 8:28-29, which sounds a lot like Ephesians 1. So here, Paul writes, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Called according to His purpose. Do you see how this is very consistent? Why do we struggle with that? Why do we struggle with the fact that God's purpose may include things that we don't like? So we don't get that something can for us be, we use the word bad, somehow, we look at the end of this chapter and it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And somehow that's true with the same thing being true that He does not put a insulator around us and cause us not to have to deal with our consequences of our own sin, nor does He at times not cause us to have to endure the consequences of other people's sin. And sometimes we just have to deal with the consequences of the fall. But we know that if we will submit ourselves to Him, that He can do what He talks about in 28. No matter how messy, how painful it is, whatever it is in our lives, that if we will submit it to Him, that He can do something with it that will be redemptive and will glorify Himself. Does that make sense? So it's a matter of what we do with those things, not that we experience those things. And allow God to show us how He's going to work through or speak through those things, even though those are not things that we look forward to or desire. And we shouldn't. Okay? Yeah. All right. Let's move to the next one, John. So now we're going to look at Paul's letter, second letter to Timothy. And here he said, He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. So what does this say about God's purpose for us? Okay? What does this say to us about our part in this? So God's purpose is what? God's purpose is that we be, okay, more like Christ. In this case, it says that we are supposed to be that four-letter words. Holy. Okay, holy. Saved us and called us to live a holy life, not because of anything that we've done, but because of His purpose and grace. So, His purpose and His grace make holiness possible. And that's a part of His purpose for us, is that we be set aside for His purpose, and that that affect the way that we carry ourselves through our daily living. It just goes back to that we would reflect the glory of God. Don't you think? I mean, that's holy, reflecting the glory of God. Those two things, to me, at times whenever I read these passages, become synonymous with one another. Our lives are different. We are holy, set aside for His purpose, to reflect His glory. All right, John, go to the next one, because it's a lot like this one. This is from Peter's epistle. We've got a couple of passages we're going to look here, because this word is also in Peter's epistle very consistently and strongly. So in 1 Peter 1, it says, "But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy, because I am holy." Do you see how this goes with what we just read? And how it ties to purpose. All right, so tell me all the objections. What are the objections? Yeah. Okay. Romans chapter 6 is that argument. Okay. Okay. Which goes to the, at least I is why try. Okay. Why try if? Okay. Which again goes back to Romans chapter 6. Yeah. But I have this box, and I have this box, and I have this box, and my life is categorized in all these boxes. Bless you. And this box doesn't have to be holy, but this box and this box are. I got two boxes that are holy. Box number 3 is the only one that's not. I let things get into that box, and they're not God stuff. But all my God stuff, I got a lot more God stuff in these other two boxes. So the key is, we do, bottom line, it's the one thing that this passage nails with no room for escape is that it is God's purpose that we be holy. And that means that our lives reflect the glory of God, and that we be different from the world. We can't escape that. All right, John, next passage. So later in the same epistle, he said, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." Do you see purpose there? Is that not what we've been saying all along? That we would reflect His glory? Isn't that pretty close to the same thing? Don't our lives, when we are different and we are in line with the Spirit of God, isn't that declaring His praise? Of course, we want to do it literally, but you know, you go back to the Augustine quote. You know, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. Okay. So we're supposed to not only be holy individually, we're supposed to be holy corporately. You know, it raises all kind of questions, sort of like a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Okay. Which is why, then why do we have all those other passages that He talked to us about earlier? Why is it so important that we be in this together, that we be exercising our gifts and our abilities and serving one another and offering them to one another? Why do we need to become more like Jesus individually and corporately? It's because our purpose is that we all be holy, that we be holy together, that we reflect the glory of God. So stew on this for a second. All the things we've talked about today, what is it that you wrestle with when it comes to God's purpose? What do you wrestle with? Accusation. Okay. God wastes nothing. This is what I can't get my mind around. He doesn't want me to fail or choose poorly, but remarkably, when I submit my failures to Him, He can do something with it. God's remarkable. Which leads into something we have talked about in the past, and that has to do with making a decision. How do we make decisions? And what are the things that guide us in making decisions? And, you know, ultimately, it kind of comes down to two things. Are you listening to the Spirit of God, number one? Number two, is there direction He's already given you in Scripture that makes this pretty clear? And that's always been kind of the role of Scripture, it's there to point you to where life is. And it's not rules to live by, but it does give you where the lines are on the highway. But that's not driving the car. You still got to drive the car. Yes, that's true. Yes, I think that's true. I think sometimes we get best misdefined because we think, well, me either. Right. Okay. Best. I think ultimately the best is that we become more like Jesus. And the best is not absence of problems or absence of troubles. We're going to talk about that 11. We're to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Yeah, you're right. We're supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And that's how we reflect the glory of God. It's to be the hands and the feet and sometimes even the mouth. Speaking. Our life should speak. I think that's what you're saying.
I play cards. I like to play cards. Mm-hmm. On Friday, I go to the park. Mm-hmm. It helps. I mean, just have a good time on Friday.
Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
Amen.
Okay? We are going to talk about that at 11 o'clock. A wee bit. There is no, as far as God's purpose, there's really, the purpose that God has for us is really very simple. And it's very big. It's us trying to figure out how our experiences fit in that purpose that's complicated. At least that, from what I see. But that's because we're looking from the bottom up and we're not looking from the top down. Is it okay to question God when it comes to understanding the purpose for something that we don't understand in life?
Okay.
The problem is when you don't. Now, in talking about in a negative way, okay? It's when you have faith that God's at work and you're able to be there, that's great. But when you're not and you question God, that's good. The problem is when you're confused or you start listening to a lie and then you don't ask. That's an issue. That's a problem. Because that's an area where you and I can be influenced by the enemy. And we start believing anything. Okay. All right. You have any thoughts you want to share about purpose, God's purpose? Yes. Well, I think He desires that we would respond to that and trust Him. And sometimes that's a struggle. But He's with us in the struggle. He did wrestle Jacob when Jacob was going through the purpose question. All right.
Get up, write it down, because you're going to forget it, because you're over 50.
One thing we know is that God does have purpose for us. We have a part. We know that. We know that it is good. We know that it is perfect. That doesn't mean we are, or that we understand it perfectly, but it still is perfect. And we will be more at peace. We'll have more shalom if we are able to trust God and watch Him transform the yucky stuff. So let's pray. Father, thank You that You saved us for a purpose. Lord, I pray that You would show us how we can submit ourselves to You as living sacrifices and let what we offer to You reflect Your glory. Lord, we know that that is Your purpose, that we be more like Jesus, that we reflect Your glory. Help us to do that in tangible ways today and every day we live this week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.